And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Do our illnesses define us or do our triumphs? How about our relationships? We're going to talk today about art and identity, sickness and vibrancy. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Joining me in the studio now is Ashley Ballou Bonema. She was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when she was a baby. She's now an author and a blogger. She's the founder of Breathe Bravely. That's an advocacy group for cystic fibrosis. And one of Breathe Bravely's projects is called Sing Spire. You can join Ashley and others for Sing Spire, A Night of Song. That's on Tuesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. Ashley Ballou Bonema joins me now with details. Welcome.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful to be here.
All right. Tell me a little bit about the event first, Sing Spire, and who is it featuring?
Sure. So next Tuesday night, like you said, we are coming together, the instructors of Sing Spire program, and we are putting on a program of delightful music, but also educating our supporters and the people who love Sing Spire and our mission. We're actually delving into the lessons themselves and showing them what the program is all about.
All right, so this is a program where singers are going and giving vocal lessons. Explain to me how that works.
Yeah,
outside of the actual performance, but just on a day-to-day basis.
Sure. So Sing Spire itself is a 10-week program for individuals with cystic fibrosis. So one of the complexities of CF is that two people with CF cannot be in the same location due to cross-infection. So that makes it a little difficult for myself, who has CF, to teach other people with CF voice lessons. So this program itself is taking fellow colleagues of mine who are also teachers and assigning them students with CF. But one of the cool aspects of this program is that the lessons are done via video call.
Okay.
So something that's a little uncharted, but I have to say my colleagues are doing a brilliant job with it. So, yeah, so we each have a student, one or two students, and the students are from all over the United States, but they each have CF and, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. So let's talk about CF or cystic fibrosis for a few minutes for those who don't know. You're diagnosed as a baby. At that point, the prognosis was not necessarily very good. Tell me about CF.
Sure.
What do people need to know that they don't know?
Sure. So CF is a pretty complex disease. When I was born, the life expectancy was about 18. So the fact that I got to celebrate my 30th birthday this year is pretty amazing. There have been, some huge developments in, drug therapies that have been life-extending for me and for many others with CF. So right now, in all 50 states, it is mandatory that each baby is tested for CF, which was not the case as well when I was born.
Sure.
So my brother, who was 7 years older than myself, wasn't diagnosed until, he was six, just because CF wasn't necessarily a well-known or understood disease. So now it's just mandatory testing. So a lot of times, within the first 14 days after a baby is born, they'll know if that child has CF and can start therapy and treatment right away.
How complicated is it to live with at the age in your teenage years, for example, going through high school?
Sure.
And living with cystic fibrosis.
Sure, I think any angsty teenager, right?
Just what you wanted to bring to high school.
Doesn't necessarily want to be, strapped to a chair and a vest, a therapy vest for, 2+ hours a day, and have to do certain inhaled medications and kind of live by this regimented schedule. Any high schooler just wants to be normal, right, and fit in. But we grow up doing these therapies and this being just kind of a normal part of our life, so to speak. So it just kind of translates into, whether you're an adolescent, an adult, early childhood.
Right.
You just make it work.
So you've written on your blog, and we'll talk about your books here as well in a moment, but just about not being defined by CF. Ashley is just Ashley. Tell me, how did you get to that point where you really were starting to take ownership of the fact that this is not my all-encompassing identity. Was that in your teenage years? Is that a recent development?
No, I would say that that's pretty recent. It's kind of twofold. My, you know, growing up years and high school into college, I was always very determined that people would see me first and foremost, right? Yeah. That they would not see somebody with cystic fibrosis. I always wanted to be measured by the same, you know, ladder, essentially, by as everybody else. So I, you know, almost pushed myself even harder to make sure that people saw what I was able to do and not what I wasn't able to do because of CF. So for that very reason, I hid a lot of my life with CF, just because I didn't want people to see that. You know, if it came out as an afterthought and people found out, that sure. It was just, you know, common conversation then. But I didn't want to be defined by it, right? So when I was in graduate school down at the University of South Dakota, I was kind of going through some challenges with CF, and things were getting more and more difficult to hide, just because of the progression of the disease itself. So it kind of reached a point at which, you know, some close friends and family had said, you know, we see what's going on and we see the difficulties that, you know, you're enduring. Let us be a part of that journey. Let us understand, you know, we understand that this doesn't define you, but if anything, it reflects your strength and your passion. So that's where, first and foremost, the blog came out of. So no idea what it would turn into, just right. Kind of was word vomit onto a page to share with family and friends.
And what's the experience been like for you? How long have you been blogging?
Sure. So I think it was 2014 that I started blogging in April. And so, about three years here. It, again, is something that I could have never fathomed the outcome or the response that it got. Honestly, it was just kind of taking my truth and my honesty that was reflected in my life and just pouring it onto a page,
right.
Giving people a real look into the complexities of CF that just aren't physical, but, you know, the emotional, mental side of it as well.
And that's a way to sort of invite not only your close family and friends into the journey, but really the rest of the world as well. Were you prepared for some of the response and the feedback you got and the reach of your writing, yourself as a writer?
I think it was truly humbling, and it still is very humbling to me. I think one of the greatest missions of any time I wrote anything was that people could see themselves reflected in my life. Not only the goodness that they brought my life, but whether I knew them or not, that they have experienced the same feelings and emotions and, you know, obstacles, whether they look exactly like mine or not. We all still are connected by that strength and that passion.
Yeah, I was downtown in Sioux Falls the other day and was at Oh My Word, and they had a copy of your book and then a more expanded version that was a journal, beautifully printed. What's the role, or what are your thoughts on really encouraging others to write along with you? Lots of themes about gratitude there and sort of mindfulness and noticing. Tell me about both those books and what you hope readers and writers will get from them.
Sure. I think that when we went to publish this book, I really wanted to have something that people could, you know, sit down and journal along with, and I wanted it to be interactive, because I think so much of our lives are interacted with people, and that's the element of our lives that really shape us. So for somebody just to read a book and, you know, not be engaged themselves in it, I think is a lost opportunity in my sense. So for them to actively engage as I myself am telling my own story, I think is a powerful thing for them, for their own self-realization and realizing the beauty that lies within every breath they are given, and the gratitude that they can have for regardless of their situation.
What's next for you?
What is next? That is right. A good question.
Right. How far ahead do you look? Having, you know, really been told at a young age that, you know, life expectancy is not great. Now you've blown past that. But yet you're still managing a chronic disease and the disease's progression. How do you sort of navigate the conversation about Ashley's future?
Sure. That is always a delicate subject, and it has become one that's more and more difficult as the years go by, just because of the unpredictability of CF. I used to be an avid planner of, you know, this is going to happen in 3 years and this is going to be happening in 5 years. My husband and I have kind of learned that things can quickly change within a day with the life of CF. So I do my best to take the days as they come and they are given to me and make the very best out of them, but not plant anything too firmly in my plan,
right.
Just because I don't want to be disappointed, but I also know that I necessarily don't have the best idea of what that plan may be.
Right. I have a brother who's living with some pernicious cancer right now, and the way it has changed our conversations, I found that I didn't want to get in the position where every time we did something, I was thinking this might be the last time we do it. Because then everything became sad. Like everything was a walk through the misery.
Right. Yes.
On the other hand, I wanted to take value in each present moment with him. And it really kind of changes your whole conversation when you look at, and maybe everyone needs to sort of look at life a little bit like that, because you never know for any of us.
Well, I think it allows you to be really rooted in the moment and the experience that you're having and be truly grateful for, you know, our conversation that we're having right now.
Right.
You know, the people that you will see the rest of today, it really allows you to invest yourself into that experience.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about singing. And once again, if you're just tuning in, Ashley Ballou Bonema is the founder of Breathe Bravely.
The tongue twister.
And one of those projects is Sing Spire, and you can hear a night of song Tuesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. That's at First Congregational Church in Sioux Falls. And do you sing then too? And when did you
sort of
begin singing? Is that part of therapy, or is that just because you love to sing and you have a voice?
Little did I know that it would become a huge part of therapy for me. I know it's kind of like an oxymoron, right? That, you know, you have an individual who's a professional musician, a singer, who has a lung disease, a degenerative lung disease. But it's always been very prevalent in my life. And little did I know, you know, when I started singing 15 years ago, how impactful it would be.
Right. How so? Impactful from a physical therapy standpoint, impactful from a sort of soulful standpoint, artistic standpoint.
Completely both, 100%. So when I started, you know, kind of brainstorming this idea for SingSpire, this program for Breathe Bravely, it was all based on my own experience of how it's physically benefited me and emotionally benefited me.
Right.
You know, physically being that I'm breathing, right? Mm-hmm. It's making me, you know, strengthen my respiratory system and, you know, test my endurance. But it also has allowed me a greater self-awareness of my respiratory system as well. So if something's off or something's different, you know, I can call my care team and say, hey, yesterday I could sing these three measures. Mm-hmm. Today I can only sing two. Something's wrong.
Something's up. Yeah.
Right. So just having that acute awareness of my own body, and if something's off, that means that, you know, hopefully we can stop something sooner before it becomes a huge problem. You know, and then the emotional side of it. You know, I think any of us, that's why any of us sing, right? Whether it's in the shower, in the car, or on a stage, is just that inherent joy it gives us and the people that we can share it with.
What do you like to sing? What kind of music sort of fits your voice and your passion?
Sure. So I am a classically trained musician. Mm-hmm. So I love classical music. But I don't know, all genres I feel fit a need at some point in your life. So whatever, right? Whatever's on the radio, whatever is playing. So
what's your advice to others with CF who are listening to this now, who are part of SingSpire, who are waiting for research and waiting for treatment and sort of navigating this right now? What's the message that you bring to them?
I think my presence alone is a testament to the advancements in CF, right? You know, when my parents held me for the first time and they were told that your child isn't going to live past the age of 18, you know, and to be 30 years old and sitting here and thriving and living in a relatively normal life, I think is an exciting thing, you know. And I don't know if you have followed the headlines at all, but the CF Foundation, you know, has backed some really great drug development in the recent years, and they continue to have, you know, some incredible therapies in their pipeline that, you know, will extend and change the lives of of all people with CF. Yeah. So it's an exciting time.
Exciting time and urgent need. Keep going, researchers, right?
Yes, yes, exactly right.
Don't slow down. Ashley Ballou Bonema is founder of Breathe Bravely. You can see Sing Spire, A Night of Song, Tuesday, August 15th, 7 p.m., First Congregational Church in Sioux Falls. Ashley's books and blogs. Do you want to tell people where to find more of that here?
Sure. If they just go to breathebravely.org, they'll find all the information they need.